Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show has been sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products tab and click on Million Dollar Business to get yourself started. Are you guys ready for another amazing podcast today? Today I have joining me the one and only Carl Mecklenburg, former Denver Broncos, six-time All-Pro. Carl, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm good, Tommy. It's great. Great to see my Gopher friend.
Absolutely. Go Gophers, man. We got the connection there from my hometown and University of Minnesota. Carl, you're looking good, man. Look like you can go out there and strap it up for the Denver Broncos again right now if we needed you, man.
No. it's an illusion.
Illusion. Well, it's working. You're looking good. And Carl, I really appreciate you being on the podcast this morning. Hey, before we get started with the questions, if folks want to, you want to tell us about any latest that's going on with you? I know you're speaking now.
I've been a professional speaker for the last 15 years, Tommy, longer than I played professional football.
Oh, wow.
I'm a certified speaking professional through the National Speakers Association. Obviously now I'm doing a lot of virtual presentations. People can look me up on my website, which is just carlmecklenburg.com. You can misspell it numerous ways and still find your way there.
That is awesome. He is not hard to find out there at all, man. Former Denver Bronco, great. And again, I appreciate you being on. Hey, Carl, you know, the purpose of our podcast is to really introduce our listeners to, you know, amazing people like yourselves and have you walk us through some of the big obstacles you face in life. And, you know, I'm glad you're on here because, you know, a lot of people probably watch you on television and probably don't know the insights of your story. So I'm very, very excited to get to know and hear more about that today. So I'm going to start with our first question, Carl. What has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in your personal or professional life?
Wow. I think just doubt from others around me. Mm. I was not a great athlete as a child. I played JV as a junior in high school. I didn't even make the varsity team.
Wow, really?
I loved the game. As a senior in high school back in Minnesota, I was all state as a tight end and a defensive end, but I was only 6 feet tall and 200 pounds.
Wow.
Not big enough to play major college football. So I went to Augustana College in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, yes. A little Division II school. I went there on a 1/3 scholarship with an understanding if I played well, they'd give me a full scholarship. And the coach sat in my family's living room and said, Carl, we're late in the recruiting season. We've only got a third scholarship for you, but if you do good for us, if you produce, we're going to bump you up to a full scholarship later. So I went to Augustana, and my first year in college, I grew 3 inches and 40 pounds.
Oh, really? Wow, that's good.
Yeah, I did it. I got good. Things changed. Uh-huh. So all of a sudden, I led the team in sacks my second year there. I played every down on defense. We had that debriefing session that every coach has at the end of the season where they sit you down and talk about what happened last year and what to expect next year. And I'm thinking, this is it. You know, he's going to give me the full scholarship we talked about in our living room. I sat down in there with the coach, and the first thing out of his mouth was, Carl, we know your dad's a doctor. He can afford this school. We're going to take away your scholarship and use it to bring someone else in.
Wow.
Now, really? My passion, my mission already was to be the best football player that ever played the game. And that's what, when I made decisions, that's what I was thinking about. It just wasn't going to be at Augustana. So I left Augustana and I walked down at the University of Minnesota. When you transfer between 4-year colleges, you have to sit out for a year. You're ineligible. You're ineligible for games. You're certainly eligible to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So my job that year was to be a live blocking dummy, right? I'm supposed to imitate the guy from Michigan or Ohio State or whoever we're playing that week. If I want to eat with the team, I got to sweep up the weight room or sweep up the locker room. Usually they put your jersey number on your laundry bag. The number on my laundry bag was number 114, right? There's no 114 in football, but that was me. Once again, it didn't matter. My passion, my mission was to be the best player that ever played the game.
Sure.
I made decisions around that. I was the best live blocking dummy that team had ever seen. So as soon as I was eligible for a scholarship, they gave me one.
Wow.
And the scholarship's important, not only from a financial stance, but also they just treat you differently when you're a scholarship player. They give you opportunities. So I earned my way on. That next year, I led the Big Ten in sacks, tied with Andre Tippett. The year after that, we were so bad that nobody had to pass against us, so I never got a chance to pass rush. And so I was the 12th round draft choice of the Denver Broncos, the 310th pick of the draft, 20 guys away from Mr. Irrelevant. When I got to training camp, I had my jersey number was the same as somebody who was a starter on the team. They used to bring 110 guys into training camp. I had a hole in my sock one time during training camp my rookie year. I went to get a new pair of socks, and the trainer said, "What's the matter with your other sock?" He was only going to give me one sock. But I knew where I stood. and then the rest of it happened. So Wow. So it was not an easy.
Yes.
Easy route. And I know your story. I know all the challenges you had, coming up. And to me, success is overcoming obstacles on the way to your dreams. Nobody is successful unless they are able to overcome. And that's something I learned through football and I've learned through life. As a 60-year-old, there's been a lot of obstacles along the way. But I'm very happy with where I'm at now and love my job as a professional speaker, inspiring long-term positive change.
Yes. Carl, that's amazing. Thank you for, being transparent and sharing your story, because oftentimes we see NFL guys like yourself who we see you at the peak of your career, and we don't necessarily know the challenges that you went through early on. So I want you to go back to those early years of Minnesota and having to walk on what was the school again?
Augustana College. It's called Augustana University now. It's in Sioux Falls,
okay.
Division II school.
So when you walked on, oftentimes people hear about the journey of folks who are collegiate athletes going into the pros. But take us back to those moments when you were dealing with self-doubt, and talk to us about some of the things you were feeling when you were being rejected by the coach and some of these other recruiters that were not seeing you as what you were meant to be as a Denver Broncos player and worthy of all the accolades and everything else. Talk to us about the feelings that you were dealing with during that time. What did you feel? What emotions you were dealing with?
I believed in myself. I did. I don't think I ever felt I was on a football field and I was outmanned.
That's good.
And when I thought of it from that standpoint, yes, football is a team game, but if you're not being outmanned yourself and you're not allowing yourself to be dominated, then there's got to be a way to show that you have some worth on any team.
Sure.
And for me, that was it. I was going to play as hard as I possibly could.
Uh-huh.
Every down. I mean, I look at dedication as hard work, constant learning, refusing to quit.
Yes.
Attitude, that mindset. And the other thing I think I had early on was what I call a sports mentality,
right?
Where you're going to go into any situation and look at what you did right and try to repeat that.
Yes.
And look at what you did wrong and try to set some goals around fixing that.
Absolutely.
So instead of staying at that JV level that I started out at, I continued to improve and improve and improve. And I was a better college football player than I was a high school football player. And I was a better Division I college player than I was a Division II college player. And I was a better professional player than I was a college player. And it was all based on constant personal growth through this sports mentality.
Yes.
Of being honest and forgiving with myself and saying, okay, I did this wrong. Fine. I did that wrong, but I can fix that. I can set some goals around that and get better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's very, very important, that self-analysis that we have to go through, So when you were evolving from that high school player to the low-level college player to D1, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you kind of utilized to keep yourself going? So what did you do to kind of cope? keep yourself motivated.
Yeah, you know, I loved the game. Yeah. The game itself was a reward for me.
Yeah.
To go out and mix it up. My dad has a story about my first football game. I'm at Lyndhurst Park in South Minneapolis. I'm a 10-year-old child, and he had rounds that morning. So he got to the first game. It's a scrimmage, a little late. And I was already done. There's 100 kids out there, you know, everybody with their own colored jersey and their helmet on with a tape on their forehead with their name written on there, because so the coach could tell who was who. And I'm done on the sidelines. He comes up and puts his arm around me and asked me, Carl, you know, what do you think about football? Thinking I was going to be upset that he missed my first game. And my response was, Dad, I really love to smash guys. I mean, I was a linebacker. That's who I was. I love to have the opportunity to play the game, to have the opportunity to that was a reward to me in and of itself. So that was a challenge, right? And anytime you're playing football, there's challenges. I've had 18 football related surgeries, 10 of them on my knees. Wow. And I missed 5 games in my pro career, all from a thumb injury that then broke again, and they had to repin it. And I played after, you know, that same season after that. I was going to play. If there was any chance to play, I was going to play. And that, and like I said, that was my reward. That was my coping mechanism, was the field.
Yes. I love it, and very well said. And you know, a lot of folks out there who are into athletics need to adjust and adopt those same things. So as you were going through this, did you have a mentor or a guide or someone who kind of helped kind of keep you going as you were going through this? Who did you rely on during this time?
Yeah, you know, along the way, there were a lot of different people. My dad, my mom, both. Their parents worked in the stockyards in South St. Paul, Minnesota. My dad, you know, through the Army, was able to go to medical school, and my mother, you know, was just a mom coming up. She had a degree in home economics, but she got involved in the anti-abortion movement. And rose to the top of that, became the head of Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life, became the head of United States Citizens Concerned for Life, and then became Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Reagan administration.
Wow, that's awesome.
All, you know, after she raised her kids. Mm-hmm. And I saw this drive in both my parents, understood that whatever I wanted to do, if I worked hard enough at it, and if it was important enough to me, I could succeed. So there was that. Then when I got to Augustana, there was the defensive line coach was a guy named Pastor Pete, Richard Peterson. He was the dean of men at Augustana College. He was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, and he was a defensive line coach and a rough and tumble guy. And I'd never seen that combination before of scholarship, of faith, and of football toughness. And sure. There it was, all in one person. And I wanted to be him.
Uh-huh.
That really helped me focus on what was important in my life. All three phases.
Man, that's amazing. He sounds like an amazing guy as well. And your parents, man, kudos to your parents for being overcomers and fighting through and being great examples for you and your siblings as well. So I know you mentioned though, one of the things that kept you going was to be the best at the game of football. Was there anything that kept you motivated during those moments of rejection as you were coming through, where things weren't look like they were paving out for you or panning out for you? What kept you motivated during that time?
Yeah, Tommy, I think it was love of the game again. The injury stuff. We lost 3 Super Bowls, worse than anybody's ever lost Super Bowls. And you wake up the next day and the sun comes up. Guys are getting hired and guys are getting fired, and every team, even the team that just beat you, is readjusting and getting ready for the next season. When this COVID thing came. I was thinking, you know, I'd never been in any situation like this before. And then I actually thought about it for a while. And I remember having off-season surgery many times, and I'm in the training room just trying to walk. Right. And everybody else is out on the field getting ready for the next season. And I decided long ago to control what I could control.
Yes.
If there's something positive I can do in that situation, no matter how dark that situation is, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I was in the locker room, being the captain that I was. I was in the training room being a model patient, doing everything I possibly could to get ready for the next season. I was breaking through relationship barriers that are on every football team. You know, the old guys hang out with the old guys, the linemen hang out with the linemen, the receivers hang out with the receivers, the white guys hang out with the white guys, the black guys hang out with the black guy. That it's just natural and it's convenient.
Yes.
And I was crossing those lines. I was going out of my way to develop relationships across those lines. And because I was able to do that, then when I was back on the field and could play, I had those connections and I could make that difference for my team. So regardless of the situation I was in, I could find something I could do positive.
That's right.
So I guess that was my approach.
I love it. And Carl, you know, your pathway to the NFL was certainly not one that we hear a lot of people who are, you know, stars in the NFL. They usually go into the D1 school. Everyone was recruiting them, looking at them. They knew that they were going to the NFL right away. That wasn't your pathway. How do you think your pathway changed you as a person and helped you be the great success you were in the NFL?
Well, of course it helped. Yeah. If you look at successful players in the NFL, the vast majority of them have overcome and overcome and overcome. And it's amazing. I mean, I spent over a year of my life in training camp, and great players, unbelievable athletes will come to training camp who've always been the best player that ever played on their team.
Absolutely.
Never were challenged. And they get to training camp, and in the NFL, you will be challenged.
Uh-huh.
No question about it. And they don't know how to react.
Yes.
I think having that history of overcoming and overcoming allows me now to run into situations like this, like COVID, yeah. Dealing with health issues with my parents, dealing with community challenges, whatever it is.
Yes.
And look at it, instead of looking at it in an, oh no, what do I do? I look at it as, okay, what can I do to help? How can I take another step forward in my life? How can I help people around me take steps forward in their lives? So that's kind of the way I see things. I look at it as an opportunity instead of as a oh no, the sky is falling situation.
Absolutely. And that's a great perspective to have on it. So Carl, as you look back on your journey, high school, college, NFL, would you do anything different on your pathway? What would you do different?
Yeah, you know, Tommy, the one thing I think I could have done better early on in my career is to be a better leader. I was in a strange situation in the NFL. I was drafted as a nose guard. They moved me out to defensive end. Then they moved me to middle linebacker. Then they started playing me everywhere. I played all seven defensive front positions sometime in a single game. So any time I moved, that meant somebody else had to move. And basically what the coach is saying is, we think Carl's better than you, get out of the way. We're going to move him. We're going to put him here because this is where we think the play is going.
Sure.
And in that situation, I think it made it harder for me to be the leader I could have been.
Okay.
Or at least I looked at it that way.
Yeah.
In retrospect, looking back, I still could have been a leader in many ways that I wasn't, from a mentorship standpoint, from a taking young guys under my wing kind of standpoint. I think I could have done better. There's towards the end of my career, I did that on purpose, and I did that a lot.
Sure.
But towards the beginning, I really didn't very much.
That's a great perspective to have. You know, Carl, we're coming off one of the very difficult year for a lot of folks. People have lost family members, possessions, jobs, finances. People are wondering how to get back up. For our listening audience out there who are maybe currently enduring some challenges or are still limping into 2021, what advice would you give them to keep them going and to have a positive attitude to get beyond the obstacles they face, whether in 2020 or 2021 or any other time? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think the thing that there's an exercise that I go through just about every day. Mm-hmm. where I'll get up, I'll do a little Bible study. I think, and I think about what's important to me, what my desires, my passions, my missions in life are. For me, for the longest time, it was, I want to be the greatest player that ever played the game. That I'm not Tom Brady. I can't still play. I have other passions, other missions in my life. As a husband and a father, I want to give unconditional, uncompromising love to my family.
Yes.
As a Christian, I want everything I say and do to reflect God's love.
That's right.
As a speaker and an author, I want to inspire long-term positive change. Mm-hmm. And I go into each day having reviewed that, going over that in my mind and trying to look at all the opportunities I have that day to fulfill those things.
That's right.
So anytime you're taking a step towards where you want to get to, that's a positive day.
Yes.
So I look at it from that standpoint of how can I move closer to where I want to get. Now, obviously, I would rather be face-to-face when I'm giving a presentation than being, talking to a camera. But this is how I can inspire long-term positive change under these circumstances. So this is what I'm doing.
Yes. That is awesome advice. So folks out there, if you're not pumped up and excited after hearing Carl Mecklenburg's story, man, I don't know what's going on with you though. Hey, Carl, one more time. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, carlmecklenburg.com. My phone number, my email address, all that stuff's there. There's video of me speaking. There's feedback from past clients. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all that stuff. And it's just at Carl Mecklenburg everywhere. So,
man, be sure to reach out.
I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you look for an amazing speaker. Reach out to Carl. Hey, Carl, we talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have some fun?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. This part of our show is called the rapid fire portion of a show. I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to follow up with any questions. Just give me and your audience your best answer to each of the questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Here we go. Carl, tell us how, give us an example of how you turned a dream into reality.
My football career.
Okay. What gives your life meaning?
My faith.
Yeah. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time?
What I'm doing.
What word best describes you?
Decisive.
Okay. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I'd love to solve COVID.
Good answer. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Fishing.
Yeah, of course, being in Minnesota, yes, right. Yeah. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Fishing. Actually, you know what? That's not true. I've got time for everything that I need to spend time on. If I want to go fishing, I go fishing. If I want to work, I work. If I want to go out with my wife, I go out with my wife. So I'm in a good place right now.
That's awesome. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
I thought I'd be a doctor like my dad.
Awesome. If you had to teach something, what would you teach?
I think decisiveness. I found out early on in my career, if I took the first step in the right direction before anybody else did, all the angles would change in my favor.
Yes.
And that decisiveness is what allowed me to be the football player I was. I was a 12th round draft choice based on height, weight, and 40 time. They can't measure decisiveness.
That's awesome. I love it. Who inspires you the most and why?
You know, my kids. Mm-hmm. Each one of them has overcome, has resilient, has taken steps towards their dreams, and to see that passed on from my parents through me to my kids has been pretty special.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's something about yourself or your life that we might be surprised to learn about you?
I have dyslexia.
Okay. Okay.
A dyslexia is a learning disability that you don't get. It's difficult to read. It's difficult to write. You don't know your left from your right.
Yes.
When I started taking the signals from the sidelines, this meant one thing and this meant the other. And I was out on the field with my back turned, trying to figure out which arm the coach had up. it was a disaster. But the great thing about it is I could play on either side. I didn't know. I didn't care. So
right. Just go get them, right?
It was positive for football.
That's awesome. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I'm going to get back to Hawaii. Okay. 6 years in the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and I haven't been back for many, many years, and it'd be nice to get back there.
Absolutely. What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
I think going over that my morning routine of reviewing what's important to me, mm-hmm. and trying to set goals to get a little closer to those things.
Yes. What's something you'd like your grandchildren to say about you?
Grandpa loved me.
Grandpa loved me. Yeah. Yeah. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
I'd love to fly. I have dreams of flying every once in a while. So I think flying would be good.
That's everyone's favorite right there. If I walk through your home, Carl, what clues would reveal to me about what it is that you love?
Wow. Pictures of photographs of me and friends and me and my family. I think that's probably the thing that would stand out.
What do you love to learn about?
You know, anything. One of the great things about being a speaker is you're involved in all these meetings, and I try to get there early so I can hear the people speaking before me and then refer back to them. But there's so many things I've learned as a speaker in meetings. Whether it's, the Rural Electric Cooperative Association or whatever it is, there's always something to be learned. And I enjoy that.
Awesome. What sparks your creativity?
You know, this type of situation. Mm-hmm. You sent me the questions ahead of time, but I didn't read them because I would rather, spontaneously and decisively answer with the truth rather than something that I cooked up to make myself sound good. So this is, I think, this type of thing.
Absolutely. If you became president today, Carl, what law would you pass first?
Wow. That's a tough one. There's so many challenges that we're all facing. Mm-hmm. Having had family inside of Washington, D.C. in the Beltway. My mother was Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services, and she went in there with all kinds of dreams and hopes and wanting to make a difference, and found out how difficult it is to actually identify one thing that applies across the whole country.
Sure.
To govern from D.C. is I think much more difficult than to take care of your own community within your community.
Yes.
So I would rather be mayor.
Yeah, there you go.
I live in Aurora, Colorado, and I would try to straighten out the challenges between the police force and the people of Aurora.
Yeah, that's a great one. Great one there. I'm sure a lot of people would vote you in for that. I'd vote for you.
Sounds good.
Yeah. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Wow. I think Peyton Manning.
Okay.
And just because I've been so impressed with his approach to football, such a great mental approach to football. And then his transition from football to life beyond football. And that's a tough transition for many people. And he seems to have done it seamlessly. And to get the essence of that and get a hold of that and be able to share that with other people, I think would be fantastic.
Absolutely. I agree with you. What do you love to do for others?
I like to speak. I like to maybe give them one or two things that will change their day, that will either inspire them or really, you know, as an adult, I believe there's very few things I can tell you that you don't already know, but I can come at it from a different angle and remind you of something that, that you've neglected or that you've let go. So I think that's probably it, to just, you know, turn that switch on again, and let people go into the day with a positive attitude and move forward in their lives rather than stagnate or move back down.
Absolutely. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you, Carl?
Wow. That's a hard one. Opportunity.
Yeah.
There's a guy here in Colorado, Joe Collier. He was the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. And what I think great coaches do is they look at your skill set and find a way to use that skill set to help the team. Look at your weaknesses and find the strengths of the team to cover for those weaknesses. Joe allowed me to do all the things I did as a professional football player, play all seven defensive front positions, sometimes in a single game, move around, do all those things. Nobody had ever done that before. Joe saw a skill set in me that he could put me at the point of attack, and I was going to take care of that. And he had the courage to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I would say Joe Collier.
That is awesome. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
My wife married me.
Great answer, Paul.
Hey, you know what? We were dating when we were 15 years old. We've known each other our whole lives. She's been the light of my life and really the reason I've been able to continue to have a positive outlook through it all. So this is, yeah, there's no question. It would be Kathy.
She is going to love hearing that on this podcast, Carl. You got to right? Get a lot of.
All right. I'll send her the link.
Absolutely. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
You know, I've never been afraid of any physical work, I guess. That just getting down and dirty and doing it. You know, all the training. I mean, I was not going to be the fastest guy in the field. I wasn't going to be the biggest guy in the field, but there's no question I could be the strongest guy in the field if I worked at it hard enough. And that approach, I think, was it. Just that I'm willing to get down and dirty and spend the extra time to get closer and closer and closer to those desires, those passions, those missions.
Absolutely. Carl, what moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Wow. I caught some big fish. I'm trying to think about that. That's an interesting question. There really is nothing that stands out other than just situation and relationship after relationship after relationship. I guess the relationships I had with my family, with my sister and my two brothers, with my parents, with my grandparents, with my aunts and uncles, and growing up in that environment, those relationships are what meant the most to me. So I guess those are the things I was the most proud of.
That's awesome. Carl, what does success look like for you?
Success is doing what I love to do, and overcoming obstacles to get better at those things. Mm-hmm. That's what excites me, I guess, more than anything about success is that the next challenge.
Yeah.
How can I impact a couple more people every speech? How can I move a little closer to that inspiring long-term positive change target that I've set for myself?
Absolutely. If I were to speak to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
I would hope once again that it would be love, that it would be doing whatever I can to be a helpful, loving, caring human being. And so that's what it would be.
Good. What are you most grateful for?
I'm grateful for life.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for opportunity. But just to get up in the morning and have another day, another chance, another situation that I can repeat the good things I've done and set some goals around the things that I'm not proud of and move closer and closer to where I want to get to. So that would be it.
Okay. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
I think the decisiveness piece. Mm-hmm. And I've gone over that before, but that on the football field, if no decision is always wrong, you've got to go. I coached at Kent Denver out here in Denver. My oldest son was going to high school there, and brilliant kids. They had 10 kids on that football team that were National Merit Scholars. Brilliant kids. Yeah. But it was so hard to get them to not think on the football field, to prepare and go into the situation and then let themselves go.
Yes.
I think many of us overthink things. Go into a situation prepared, get up every morning, think about the people you're going to run into, how you can positively impact them. And when that situation arises, you've already thought about it and then you can go.
That's right.
So for me, that's the piece.
I love it. And Carl, last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Once again, as a husband and a father and a family member, and a great member of the Denver community. And obviously the football piece will be there. They've already got a statue of me outside of Mile High Stadium. So I'm good there. I don't have to worry.
That's right. Awesome. Carl, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause,
brother. Hey. Those are some good questions. Those are questions everybody should think about, truthfully.
Yeah.
You know, run this thing back and ask those questions to yourself, because then you'll be able to identify where you're trying to get to.
Absolutely.
What's important to you.
Absolutely. And they're meant to really kind of dig deep and get us to think a little bit. I appreciate you sharing. So, Carl, the purpose of our podcast is to get people focused on resiliency and purpose. What closing thoughts can you give our audience about resiliency and purpose?
Well, once again, success is overcoming obstacles on the way to your dreams. If you're not running into obstacles, you're not pushing hard enough. Everyone should run into obstacles. And as far as purpose goes, that's on you.
Yeah.
You need to understand yourself. You need to spend some time with yourself. If you don't know what your purpose is, you're like me with dyslexia trying to drive somewhere, just lost, right? If it wasn't for GPS, I'd be in big trouble. I'd never make it to my speech. So set yourself a roadmap. Find your GPS. This is where I'm going. And then you can see that desire, that passion, that mission, that should be an extravagant, long-term, somewhat general thing. Like, I'm going to be the greatest football player that ever played the game. But the goals have to be reasonable, short-term, specific steps that point towards that. So if you haven't identified what your desires, your passions, your missions are, it's very difficult to get anywhere close to them.
Yes.
You've got to set some goals. You got to know exactly where you're headed and then set some goals. So find that thing. Find that desire, that passion, that mission. And there's a number of them. In my life, I talk about the faith piece, the family piece, and the work piece. But there's others. There's health. There's staying clear of drugs and alcohol. There's all kinds of different things that are important to me that I make sure that every day I touch on those things.
Yes. Carl, very well said. My man, thank you very much for sharing. Folks out there, if you're looking for some great advice, you're looking for a great speaker, you got to contact Carl. Bring him in. He's going to get you folks fired up. Not only was he great on the football field, he was a great guy off the field as well, though. So I love it. You're a great example for me, for many of us. And ironically, you started off in Minnesota and came to Denver. I started off in Denver, went to Minnesota, but I got out of the snow though. So
yeah, we both like the snow, I guess. Except now you're in Charlotte. I got a shovel today.
I did my time in the snow. I don't want any more parts of it. So again, thank you very much, folks. If you're out there and you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you. We're looking for other amazing stories. Go to our website, tawatson.com. Share your story. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download it, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And again, thank you all for joining us today. Peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.